Okay, so Dad, we're back here at your house on 1737 Country Club Drive in Logan, Utah. It's April 7th. It's kind of drizzly, rainy still a little bit. And so we're resuming a little bit. So thanks, Dad, again for your time for this morning going through this. This may be our last one of today, and then I got to get going at some point. So I wanted to come back and talk a little bit more about your mission in Toronto. Who are, as you reflect, who are the most influential individuals maybe on your life in your service up there, and then also in the family? And by the way, that's Nora for the recording. That's Nora playing the piano in the background with Grandma, who is giving lessons.
I'm not quite confident in your question. Are you asking me who was the most influence on me while I'm serving?
Yeah, on you personally.
I don't know the answer to that.
That's fine. How about on the family?
Well, of course, mother.
Yeah. How about outside the family? Any particular missionaries in general, or, you know, ward members, or, you know, youth leaders that come to mind?
I'm sorry, I can't bring any images ahead, or they're of course, they're, as I mentioned before, there are groups of missionaries who became the catalyst for what I consider to be the success of the mission.
Yeah. What about any really special times or experiences that you and the family had up there that really stick out? Are there any?
Well, you know, the time was that, you know, Elder Nelson.
Okay.
You know, and that was a special event.
Was that related to the temple dedication or construction?
Well, this was what I'm referring to, and I don't know that I have mentioned this before, is Elder Nelson, who's now President Nelson, who was then a member of the Quorum of the Twelve,
yeah,
called me and said that he had a friend who had assisted him in the surgical heart surgery of the Premier of China.
Okay.
And Dr. Zhang was his name. And Dr. Zhang had a daughter who was then in school in Toronto.
Oh, okay.
And was coming to visit his daughter because of Elder Nelson's friendship with Dr. Zhang.
Mm-hmm.
He was interested in making sure that he was properly cared for when he came to Toronto. Offer my help.
Yes. So okay. Just a little bit of a liaison for him when he came, or?
Yes. So, and I said, I'd be happy to do that. And he said, just after you've made contact, let me know. And I said, I will. So, Dr. Zhang arrived in Toronto. I had called him and told Dr. Zhang who I was and mm-hmm. how I came to know him, and offered any assistance that I could while he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a missionary, right? So I told him what I was doing,
yeah,
as mission president, and I would like to share the mission of Jesus Christ with him.
Yeah.
And he accepted the invitation.
This was over the phone.
This was on the phone.
Yeah. He's in China.
No, he's now, I waited for him to arrive in
I see.
In Toronto.
Okay.
So now he's in Toronto.
So he's in a hotel. You're calling him up and telling him this.
Yeah, and so and they,
but he came from China.
He came from China.
Mainland China.
He was one of the inner circle.
Okay.
In the leadership of mainland China. So I made an appointment.
Yeah.
And told him where I'd pick him up, and so I grabbed two missionaries. And on the way to pick Dr. Zhang up, I told the missionaries, I said, now, and I described this as a very important person in China. And I told them of Dr. Zhang's relationship with Elder Nelson in the surgery of the Chinese. And I said, we're going to teach him. I've already asked him, and he's accepted the invitation to receive the message of the restored gospel. Mm-hmm. And it will be your responsibility, elders, to teach him the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And you teach him just like you teach anybody else. You know, the same message, get the same commitments at the right time through the message.
Yep.
You just teach him like you do anyone else. And they understood. And so we picked Dr. Zhang up. We went to one of our chapels close at hand, went into a room. Of course, I had introduced the elders to Dr. Zhang.
Were these elders that spoke Chinese?
No.
No.
And Dr. Zhang spoke very good
Pretty good English. English, okay.
And so I told Dr. Zhang, I said, now, these elders will teach you the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I want you to listen very carefully, because what they have is very important, something you can take home with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so he agreed, and the elders did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
They were really, I of course pre-selected, yeah. And they were really good, and they taught him, and he had the right answers, and when they finished, we bore testimony of the gospel, and I bore my testimony to him. And I said, now, this is the first discussion.
Yeah.
And there are a series of eight discussions, and this was like a Tuesday. And I said, we'll pick you up and do the same thing on Thursday.
He was going to be there for a little bit of time.
He was
a couple weeks maybe or something.
Yeah, he's going to be there for a while. I had no discussion of how long he was going to be there. I just assumed he was going to be there for a while. So, but we waited to, and so he said that would be fine. And he gave all the right answers, and we had prayer, and I asked Dr. Zhang to give the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And he did.
He did. Did you, before you told Dr. Zhang that you were a missionary, did you tell President Nelson, hey, can I share the gospel with them? You didn't?
No, I didn't, because I didn't know what answer I would get.
Yeah.
So I didn't.
But you wanted to at least do
it.
Yeah.
I'm a missionary, and this is a great opportunity.
Yeah.
So we finished. We took him back to his place. And then I took the elders back, I said, now, I am not going to be with you
next time.
When you teach them. You're going to teach them. You teach him just like you did today. And I was really firm. I said, you get every, you know, and just do everything. And I said, now, the one thing I did do on the first discussion, I committed him to be baptized. I gave him the baptismal date.
You did.
I did. So I said, now he's committed to be baptized. And we'll find out how firm that commitment is. But you teach him just the way, you know, that we've taught.
Yeah.
So, but I said, you call me after you've had the discussion next Tuesday or mm-hmm. Thursday or whenever. I said, you call and tell me. So when I got back to I dropped the elders off. And then when I got back to the office, I called Elder Nelson and said, and this is what happened. And I gave him.
And how did he respond?
And he was good. He says, well, that's fine. I'm glad you did that. And I said, you know, now his baptismal date is
such and such a date.
It was in April. It was It was Easter.
Okay.
He says, so I said to Elder, he's committed to be baptized. So I said, do you want to come and baptize him?
Hmm.
And he says, well, we'll think about that as it goes by. But he just
keep me posted. Yeah.
I said, okay. So each time the elders would teach,
you'd
they report back to me, and okay, I would
report back to
Elder Nelson. I said, now, the Baptist, do you still, you know? And anyway, when it got closer to the baptismal time, I said, are you going to come? And he said, yes. So I told Dr. Zhang that Elder Nelson was coming to baptize him. So when I picked Elder Nelson up and the family up, and we went to the chapel to, you know, to baptize him.
Was there a big turnout there?
Oh, it was huge.
Really? Well, mainly because people knew Elder Nelson.
Dr. Zhang. What do you got? Dr. Zhang, who, this is a Chinese branch. It's the biggest, it's the biggest branch of Chinese.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
In the world.
Okay.
So, and it's a big branch. It's now a ward. But it was a big branch. And, of course, Dr. Zhang is going to be baptized. So they were out in force.
And then you had Elder Nelson. So Elder Nelson were interested to see him.
Yeah. So I didn't publish it that it was, you know, yeah, of course, Elder Nelson was coming.
Yeah, you didn't need to. All right,
but. So, but people. So
yeah, sure.
So what came, Elder Nelson came in. You know, I had to get white clothes for Elder Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
He was all dressed up, and we came in, and there's Dr. Zhang, and these two men who know each other, good friends. They hug, you know, and I'm standing there watching this, and I'm in tears. And so Elder Nelson grabbed a hold of me and Dr. Zhang, and he says, you two come with me. And we went into a classroom.
Yeah.
And so I'm just standing at the side like a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
Watching these two guys share their love for each other,
mm-hmm.
their concern is in Elder Nelson's happiness. And so he, and they're, it was just a great experience. And Elder Nelson says to Dr. Zhang, he says, now, I'm going to baptize you. And then Elder Prince Smith will confirm you. But he says, you know, he says, you can baptize your wife, who was there.
Okay.
He says, you know, I can give you the priesthood, and you can baptize your wife. To Dr. Zhang.
Yeah.
You want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Zhang says, yes, I would like to do that. He says, well, now it's a prayer that's memorized. Dr. Zhang says, I know. I've memorized it. And the other one says, will you give it to me? And he did. And it was right.
Had you prepared Dr. Zhang for that? No.
No.
Interesting.
This is all
maybe that. Maybe the missionaries had prepped him or something.
I don't think so.
Well,
I think he was going to baptize.
He just did his own homework.
That's going to, yeah.
Okay.
And he's really a bright, gifted guy.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm wondering more, you know, what's going to happen.
So but had his wife been part of the discussion?
Yeah.
She had been. Okay.
So we go in and the baptism is as I described it.
Yeah.
And he baptizes one. So that evening, of course, Elder Nelson's going to be there. We've arranged for a fireside.
Okay, cool.
So, and the place was packed.
I'll bet.
I mean, it was packed with people. I don't know if the fire marshal sees this, because it was a big chapel, and it was full.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm conducting.
Yeah.
We have all the preliminaries. You know, I had a violinist for the... Toronto Symphony, who came in and played beautiful music, you know. Anyway, I introduced Dr. Zhang, or Elder Nelson.
Yeah.
I introduced Elder Nelson, and Elder Nelson comes to the stand, and says, and we had Dr. Zhang and his wife sitting on the stand. And he says,
You invited
Dr. Zhang to speak.
Had you told President Nelson, or Elder Nelson at the time, after this, we're going to have a fireside, and this is...
Yes.
Yeah, so he was aware.
He was aware. So he stands up, L. Nelson stands up and introduces Dr. Zhang, and as Dr. Zhang bears testimony.
Yeah.
He comes to the podium. I mean, he's talking, he's bearing his testimony about Joseph Smith and the Restoration and the whole thing. I'm like, this is beautiful.
Did he do it in English or Chinese?
English.
English, okay.
Yeah, he's doing it in English.
Yeah.
most of the people who were there were English,
yeah, okay.
You know,
I see.
Speakers. And I'm watching all this, and when we go through, and Miller Nelson talks, and it's beautiful. Yeah, it's just nicely done. And we say, and so we go down off the stand, and Elder Nelson and I are standing there side by side,
mm-hmm.
and the missionaries have brought all their investigators up, you know.
Yeah,
and we're
baptizing, of course. Yeah.
We're baptizing 150 people
yeah,
a month,
yeah.
so there's
yeah.
a lot of, and they're bringing investigators up, and I can hear Elder Nelson committing people for baptism,
mm.
and I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah.
We're just talking like missionaries.
Yeah.
It was, and then we got in the car. You know, it took us half hour, 45 minutes.
To finish that.
Everyone
wanted to shake his hand, probably.
Yeah,
right?
Everybody's coming, shaking their hand, his hand, you know. And,
yeah.
And finally, we leave. The family's there. The kids are there. And Ann.
Okay.
And Elder Nelson. And,
yeah.
And we go out and get in the car. We got one of the vans. We get in the car. Elder Nelson gets in the back seat and brings Angie over, you know, got his arm around her and talking to her. She says, I got a gift when you get home.
Mm-hmm.
So we get back to the mission home, and he said, now before you go to your room, says, everybody, let's go. So he bears his testimony to us and has his new book.
Oh, yeah.
And with his
signature in it.
Testimony. And in about that trip, you know, there he's there.
Yeah.
And so.
That's neat.
Yeah, was great. You know, one of the great experiences
yeah.
of your life.
Yeah. So did Dr. Zhang, do you
he
know?
He has that in his book, one of his books. In
oh,
that story.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, part of that story.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Somebody showed it to me.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'll have to go check it out. Did Dr. Zhang go back to China eventually? You know,
I've lost touch with him. I don't know where he is now.
Yeah, if he's even still alive, he could be,
yeah.
be passed
oh, yeah,
away.
Yeah, he might be dead.
Passed away, yeah. What about the, talk a little bit about...
Sorry to ramble.
No, that's great. That's a fun experience. I never heard the details of that. What about the temple dedication? That must have been pretty special.
That was really special.
That was announced.
It's a huge temple, you know.
Yeah, the announcement probably occurred before your mission, or did it happen?
No, before.
Before. So you went in knowing, okay, there's going to be a temple dedication.
Yeah, it was under construction.
Under construction, okay.
Yeah, and they had, and it was, they, for the open house, they had an open house committee, of course, but then
right.
they had... I was responsible for a lot of the stuff that went on, and especially they had a room dedicated, not dedicated, they had a room separated.
Kind of like an open house
for the open
missionaries.
House, for the
missionaries.
So people would go through the temple, and they'd go
funnel
through,
out, and then,
through the, and so we had all the missionaries. We had missionary stationed. It was really a lovely setup.
Yeah.
We had
some displays.
And then right in the center, we had the temple. It was a
okay.
model of the temple.
Okay, neat.
We had lights focused
on the temple.
There's a great story here. I can tell you about this.
Yeah.
It had the lights focused on the temple. So as you came into that room, it was a large room, into that room with all these stuff around. It was you know, so you could walk and you could see. I mean, it was light, but the light was focused on the temple.
Yeah.
That temple. And so one night I'd been out taking care of some stuff, and I hurried and got back, and people were coming through. As I walked from the outside into that room, these two sister missionaries came up and said, you got to come. There's this man. He's the Catholic. He's a Catholic priest, but he was in charge of... Hamilton, the city of Hamilton in Toronto, is a kind of center of Catholicism there.
Okay.
And he's the head guy. I wish I could remember the title.
Yeah.
But he was, and he says, he's here. And the sister said, he's right over here. Come, you've got to meet him.
Yeah.
So we went down, and this priest, he's a big guy, about 6'4", something like that.
Oh,
big,
wow.
Handsome man. And he had two women there.
Okay.
And have I told you the story?
Nope.
had two women there. One was his sister.
Okay.
And the other was the mother superior.
Okay.
And so I went up and introduced myself to him and to the sisters. And this mother superior was just a delightful lady. And the other lady, that you say the wrong thing, I'm going to knock your head off kind of thing, you know. But we stood there for 45 minutes, an hour, and talked about the doctrine of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was...
Were you challenging? Were they challenging you?
No, not at all.
We're here to learn.
Interested. Yeah, interested. And so I told them the story of the restoration, and I was strong, bearing testimony of... I said, no, what I'm telling you is not a story. This is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
This really happened. The Father and the Son really appeared to this man, Joseph, you know, and he's receiving this. Well, so as long as I'm receiving, I'm giving.
Yeah.
So anyway, I put my testimony to him. And at the end, the three of them were really lovely. And I hugged the sisters as they left. And it was a real warm embrace. And he says, this is exceptional life for me. And they left. So I got home late, 11 or 12 or something like that. And early in the morning, that was fairly early in the morning, I got a call.
Very next day.
Very next day. From our state president down in Hamilton. And he said, I hear you met Father Duffy. And I says, oh, it was a great meeting. He says, he came home from that meeting with you, called all of his family together and those who worked in the priesthood.
Ministry with him, ministry, whatever.
Into his home and told them about this meeting that he had in the Mormon temple. And he says, was it you that he had the conversation with? And I said, yes, it was me. We had the conversation. It was a lovely time. He says, well, he had this meeting with his family and told them all about the things that he had heard. This morning he died.
Oh, wow.
They came to wake him up for breakfast, and Father Duffy had passed during the night.
Oh, my goodness.
And so they, knowing... The state president's relationship with Father Duffy, they called Father Duffy and told him what had happened and asked...
The family called him.
The family called
him. Yeah, okay.
And so the family asked if the state president would call me, would I be so kind as to come with the family to the funeral? So they had this in the cathedral. They had this huge, packed place, and I went in with the family, with your
name tag on,
with my name tag and the whole thing, with the family, to this funeral.
Were you warmly received by the family?
Very warmly received. And they were just as kind and open and friendly as they could possibly be, you know.
Yeah.
And we went through the funeral and. I hugged them all and said goodbye.
Do you know if anything from conversions ever occurred from that?
I didn't follow up.
Yeah, interesting. I'm sure someone did locally.
I'm now, this is my personal feeling. I have no way of knowing, but I'm convinced that Father Duffy was called home.
Mm-hmm.
That he knew what he was hearing.
Yeah.
Was the truth, and I'm convinced that the Lord took him to a place where he could embrace it.
Yeah.
He would never have been able, you know, there in that situation where he was the leader of tens of thousands of Catholics.
Right,
you know?
Right. Wow. That's a great
experience.
That's amazing story.
Yeah.
What about the dedicatory services? Did you have any role in the dedicatory services? And
I just gave the opening prayer.
You did? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Who came from Salt Lake City?
Everybody came. We had, we had many members of the 12, all First Presidency.
Uh-huh. Were you...
We had dinner with the was the 12. We sat at Miller Ballard's table, and President Hinckley was there with us.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, was we just set a table around.
Was it President Hinckley at the time? Was he the prophet?
Wasn't he?
Yeah, probably.
I think so.
Probably. Yeah. I can't remember. Did the family come into the temple? I can't remember. I guess probably not, because you have to have a temple recommend, right, to get in there.
Yeah.
Were you and Mom able to sit in the celestial room during the proceedings?
Yes.
You remember
and
that?
We were right there. Yeah, we were there.
That's neat.
The whole time.
That's neat. Now, some important events happened when you were serving on a mission. Chuck got married.
Right.
Yeah. And you stayed in Toronto,
yeah,
and Mom went home. How difficult was that for you to not be present at that?
It was difficult. It's one of those things you do, you know. You know.
Yeah.
It's not. I did come home for Lisa's wedding, but that was the first one. I think Lisa.
Yeah, I think
Lisa and then Charles.
I think Lisa was first, actually, wasn't
Lisa was first, I think, yeah. And I came home for that one.
Yeah.
And
then for Chuck's, you just said you're too busy.
I can't. You know, I had already done it once. They didn't tell me that I couldn't. I mean, but they with heavy
discouragement to.
I had never been told that I couldn't go.
I see.
The first one, I wondered, you know, because they had made all kinds of inferences. You know, when you're there, you need to be there. Your missionaries can't be without you,
right,
kind of thing. So I went thinking that they haven't told me I couldn't, so I will when for Lisa's. And then I got thinking about it. I thought, you know, this is a time to sacrifice. If I can't sacrifice my own needs, how can I ask other people to accept sacrifice?
I see.
So I determined I would never leave.
You would. Did you feel? Did you regret? Did you feel bad about having left for Lisa's? I mean, a little bit.
I felt like I made a mistake.
You did.
Yeah, I felt like I didn't. I didn't feel at the time like I was violating a trust.
Yeah.
But then when I had thought about that over a period of time, when I had thought about it, and decided that I will never do that again, then
you resolved.
Then if I would have done it, then I would have felt like I violated.
Yeah,
trust.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah, definitely. I know I went. I left my mission when you were out. Chuck took me to the MDC, and I didn't. I mean, to me that was fine. You know, you were where you needed to be, and I was going where I needed to be.
See, and I trusted you guys. You guys knew. I felt good about who you were and what you were doing. You're okay.
Yeah, and I think one of the good things that you did, at least in my mind, was you communicated openly the trust you had in us, and I think that inspired at least me to want to live up to that trust.
Okay.
So the time passed. Time, your 3 years was up. Or let me ask this question. This is the question I want to ask. What were the top two or three just ongoing challenges that were most significant? Maybe not specifically, but just in general. Is it dealing with, you know, just the fact that you always have to be on, or it's relentless, or was it, you know, dealing with, you know, personal issues? What were some of the really key challenges that you faced? That you feel maybe every president faces, but
no, I can't speak for everyone, but I can speak for myself. You know, when I accepted the call, I began to, you know, this is an ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you begin, and then you begin to make it go deep into your heart. I wanted to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm only going to have 3 years, and I want to do it right.
Okay.
So I'm going to do it the Lord's way.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to just keep talking to myself, because you know when you're the kind of guy who's kind of free and doing your own thing all the time, there's a tendency to want to do it your way.
Your way. Yeah.
And I was determined I was going to do it the Lord's way. He's outlined, and I'm going to do it. And then, and I want to do it so, you know, you always, there's a question that I've always tried to ask myself, what's the penalty I pay for being wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to hurt any missionaries.
Okay.
You know, you got to have discipline, but I don't want to take a missionary to a place that he ought not to be.
Okay.
So I was really concerned about that. You know, some missionaries need a lot, never had any discipline in their life.
Yeah.
And some missionaries, their testimonies are very shallow. You know, you've been through that.
Yeah.
And you don't want to, what you want to do is to take them a place where they ought to be, not destroy them. And you have the power to destroy.
Yeah.
And so there's always that fringe of missionaries that are, you have to keep an eye out for them. To put them in a place
because
where
they're kind
prosper.
Of in a precarious situation, a little
you know,
bit.
Yeah, you know, they're tender.
Yeah.
So you have to, and then there's the residue. It's a lousy term, but descriptive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Of those who just can't, you know, just not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't allow them to destroy the mission.
Yeah. Right.
You know. You've already got one of your best missionaries trying to mother him, and he still can't make it. And you're trying to help them in every way possible, and you're praying and you're helping him, and they're so now. You got to send him home.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're settled in your own mind that you have to do it, then you get it done. Of course, then now I got to deal with his family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember. Missionary that he was this the bishop's son, bishop in Idaho, and I called and talked to him. I've called and talked to the parents before, any of them. I sent someone, and I talked to the dad. Was good about it. He understood. He says that's my son. He says we'll deal with it. And these missionaries, but his wife called me,
mm-hmm.
and she read me the riot act.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. She was on the phone a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Just kept telling me what a bad guy I was.
Yeah,
and I just tolerated it and listened to her, and tried to, without violating any confidences with the missionary, and I just assured her what we were doing and how I had discussed it with the brethren and how I'd discussed it with the missionary, how we worked. You know, and I tried to. Not to excuse myself, but to explain myself.
Yeah.
And she wasn't a happy mother.
Had you spoken with them before about the challenges
yes.
with their son?
Yes.
So you had done that openly.
With her husband, not with her.
I see. Okay.
With the mother, with the father.
Yeah.
And you know, he knew. I think she knew.
Mm-hmm.
But.
He's
you know,
taking,
it's hard
taking
when,
out frustration on you a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I didn't understand. So you have the, and there were a couple of missionaries that I had really worked with, you know, put them with great missionaries, and they were just coming to the end of their mission, and we'll get them through. And I had brought them from disparate places and had put them in kind of joining areas. They traded companions, and... They took the mission car and went somewhere.
Oh, no.
To Canada, like a...
Amusement park or something?
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember exactly where it was. And I found out about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they only had, I think, like a couple of months to go.
Oh, man.
I sent them home.
Mm.
I had these guys on... how much time have I spent with you?
Yeah.
For so long a period,
and you
finally kind of got it together, and you blew it.
Yeah.
I said,
were they?
What? They understood.
Yeah.
I said, you know, I can. For me, the easiest thing for me to do,
mm-hmm.
the easier out for your mission president now, is to say, guys, just. Get to the end.
Yeah.
And it would be easy for me.
Yeah.
we take care of it. I would have no problem. But I can't do that to you.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to learn a lesson mm-hmm. that will stick to you your whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send you home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was painful for them. But they those two understood it. Their families were good.
Yeah. Yeah. Did, when you set a missionary home, do you have to get special approval? I mean, you have to...
I'd make all the arrangements for them to go home and where they, you know...
I mean, you make their logistical arrangements, but do you have to...
I didn't have to get approval. Did
you? You don't have to.
I didn't at that time. I don't know.
I see. Have. Interesting.
I just notified them that I was
sending them. You notified them, yeah.
Wow. I notified the brother that
yeah.
I'm sending this missionary home.
Yeah.
I probably sent half a dozen, maybe.
Yeah. How do you find time just to make sure you stayed in the scriptures and you maintain your personal health, your physical health, and your spiritual health? Because you're always busy, right? I mean, it's a kind of nonstop, relentless pace.
Yeah. There were, you know, I think that time came, those times, you know, I spent a lot of time with the family.
Okay.
You know, I'd get home, the evenings I would come home. Most mission presidents don't go out and tract and
I see.
Do that with their
yeah.
missionaries.
Yeah.
I did.
Okay.
And I would
You did that because you wanted to teach?
Because I wanted to teach and because it was a good way for me to train the missionaries. I wanted
okay.
to see how they taught.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to just send them out and hope that, you know.
So you'd
and
teach with them and then coach them after and say, hey.
I don't mean to say I'm the best teacher
right.
in the world. I'm not saying that.
You'd share your observations.
I know how, you know, this has been who I was. Since I got a testimony in the gospel when I was in the military,
yeah,
this is how, and I've taught. And I think one of the gifts that have been given to me is the ability to teach.
Yeah.
I'm going to use a gift that's been given to me.
Right.
So
okay.
I've been out, and I go out and teach. But most evenings, I would finish and come home. And so I could be with Ann and the kids.
Kids, okay.
And... So when it was available to me and it wasn't really necessary for me,
yeah,
I would get home.
I see.
When I'm home, I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
And all you got to do is deal with phone calls.
Yeah, right. The exceptions.
And you think about it, and you know, and then you try and do the best you can. But
yeah.
when you're there. You're there, and everybody understands when I get phone calls when I have to get up and go.
Yeah, yeah. You know, How long did it take you, once you started, to where you felt like, okay, I got this, I know what I'm doing, I'm kind of in a good rhythm? Was it, you know, right away? Was it a year into it? Was it 6 months?
Almost immediately.
Was it? Okay.
I didn't feel, you know, I think the biggest problem that I had was knowing where everybody was.
Geographically or?
And knew, you know, I'm here at point A, and I don't even know where point B is. You know, I know the name of the area because
yeah.
I got it written out
yeah,
in front
you,
of me.
Yeah, right.
But I didn't know where it was
yeah.
and how to get there.
Right.
You know, so I really paid attention when I first had my assistants and whatever, and they'd take me to places. And then from then on, I didn't take them.
Okay.
I'd go, you know, by myself.
I see.
And do it, you know.
Yeah. What about, so we got about 5-6 minutes left on this one. How did you feel when your 3 years was coming to a close?
I was tired and ready to go.
You were ready to go.
Yeah. There wasn't any, I didn't have any of the remorse.
You didn't.
I was ready. I just realized that was my time.
Yeah.
That's why I've been with all my colleagues.
Yeah,
you know,
it's time to hang it up and give it to someone else.
Yeah.
How do the kids and mom feel?
They were ready to come home.
Were they?
They had good friends. You know, mother was a great mission mother, you know.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see her view of the mission compared to mine. We did a lot of things together. She thinks she knows what I did, you know, but she didn't. No, there's no way. And, yeah. and I don't know any way that she...
So she did, yeah.
She was gone with me. She did a lot with me.
Yeah.
You know, and we were good. And she was really good with people and loving and kind. You know how your mother is. And
yeah.
So it was a great
experience. So Angie would have been about 12 when you came home, and Emily 15 or so, roughly, right? Mm-hmm. So they must have been... You know, they grew up a lot in Canada, right? But they must have been at least to some extent excited to
they
come
were
home.
Really excited.
Yeah, to go back to Logan.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
And we I had the Lord will judge. But you know, I felt as though I had served well.
Yeah.
Did I make mistakes? Yeah. But. You know, I was okay.
You did your best.
I did what I was called to do, and I felt good about where the mission was. I felt good about handing the keys to a new mission president.
Yeah.
I was okay about going.
Yeah.
I have no regrets.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. And then when you came back to Logan, how do you feel that the family, at least those of you that were there, Angie, Em, Ty, how did you feel that experience changed, you know, who they were?
I don't know quite how to answer that. The three that stayed, I think, had great experiences that have made you mature and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And never had any negative feelings about leaving you.
Yeah.
And having you do it's you're who you are because of you know, a part of who you are is because of that. I think that's the same thing that's true with the other kids. I think they grew. I think it was a great experience for them.
Yeah.
So
good. All right, well, let's wrap this one up. So, Dad, thank you for your time. It's just
thank
about
you,
11
man.
O'clock, so let's pause it right
thank
here.
You,
I'm going to process this, and we'll be done for at least this segment.
Okay. Thanks for doing it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, sure. Okay.